Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, they clear space and time and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Grind.
Wait, what?
Hello, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast. We're keeping that in and rolling right through. We're putting in an extra quarter and pressing continue, even though we took that hit, because it's a video game. Life is. That's what smart people say. Hi, I'm Kyle. I'm your, I guess, host for this episode, even though, as is tradition, the third-ish? One of these episodes, we are always joined by our good friend Phil, who brings with him his extensive knowledge of Jean-Claude Van Damme. Moving my character select screen to Phil, who is from the Pacific Northwest, likes fighting with wizard staffs and throwing cards at enemies. Phil, how you doing, buddy?
This is all true. I am doing well. We are currently underwater here in the Pacific Northwest. There is an atmospheric river from Hawaii to Oregon, Washington that has been dumping on us for the past week, and things are a little tense.
Mm. A little tense.
I'm doing great, though. Ooh. I live on a hill, and so floodwaters is for all the plebeians that live below me.
There it is. I also live on a hill, and I think the same thing.
This is basically Emperor's New Groove.
The high ground.
It is Emperor's New Groove. We're back to that. As always, buddy, good to have you. Thanks for coming along and hanging out with us to talk about a Jean-Claude Van Damme flick. We'll see how action-packed it is.
Yeah. I am curious, as we do introductions, what everybody's Street Fighter main was, specifically for Street Fighter 2. I was okay. I was a Guile man, so you can imagine I'm 11.
You got your ass whooped.
I got my favorite character and my favorite action star coming together on the big screen. This was an event for me. So
must have been euphoric, some would say.
Yeah. It was an experience. I can't remember what I thought of the film at the time. I've really only known it in my head as a shitty, campy action-ish movie. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we're going to dissect that a little more. But moving my character select icon over now to the Atlantic Northeast region. This guy brings the long hair sass. While he's kicking your ass, I'm talking about my good buddy, Sean.
Me? It's me?
What's up, boys? I'm over here. My character select is probably my main from Street Fighter 2. I mean, I love tossing out some Hadoukens. I like some Tiger Knees. I like some Tiger Upguts. I'd be coming at you with some Sagat. You got that. Range, baby.
Tiger uppercut.
Yeah. What's up, really. Guys? What's up?
Glad to have you as always, Shawnee boy. I love you.
And love you too.
I'm moving my character select icon now to the Midwest region where... Yeah. The host with the most, the brutal mustachioed bastardo.
Could still be either one.
Devious, devilish, dastardly. Rest. Ryan, good buddy. How are you?
It's another bleep.
That's what to say. Do I have to retroactively go back and unbleep the Patreon?
He's doing this on purpose now.
Patreon.com/experiencegrind. For as little as $3,000.
I'm doing well, sir. I'm excited to talk about Street Fighter, but I guess to get started off, my main growing up was always Dhalsim. I thought he was really cool, and I liked the reach. Let me kind of be a little wiener in the corner, take shots.
Ryan, keep myself fire. Safe.
And then moving the character select icon to the hidden part off the screen, because he has no real home location. He's moved around so much. From parts unknown,
wanderer.
The lone wanderer, Brian. How the hell are you, buddy?
Yo, I'm doing all right. I'm feeling pretty good.
it's the end of the year. Things are kind of mellowing out, and yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a little bit chilled out, like my main Sub-Zero. That's right. I'm a Mortal Kombat kid. I've never played Street Fighter.
Can we do
ever.
That? Okay. Can you do that?
Can you do that? No.
Because I'll do that too.
No, you can't. Well, hell yeah. We're going to talk. I didn't give mine. As a kid, for similar reasons to Ryan, not Dulcine though, I like Blanka because I could just crouch and keep the electricity going and it was just annoying as hell. Mm-hmm. But as I learned and grew up, like I'm a Zangief main. I love Zangief.
I'll also say, even though I use Sagat or any of the Hadouken bros, my favorite was Vega. I'm just terrible with him.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely not my main, but Vega's my favorite Street Fighter character.
Mm-hmm. Are these two neighborhood kids I remember always playing Street Fighter with? They were brothers. And of course, the older one would tease the younger one. I just remember the younger one would... Mom, he called me Sagat the F word. That just popped in my head. That was like a blast to the past. Like I was instantly transported to their bedroom and his little brother screaming that. Wow, okay. Should have put that one on the Patreon.
You have to imagine Bob Saget had to deal with that stuff growing up, right?
Oh
yeah.
Like as a kid in the 60s
and 70s. That's an easy one. That's an easy one.
From the stuff that I heard as a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Some low-hanging fruit.
These are assholes, man. Yeah. I never got it from my name.
Oh, I'm just talking about... America's Funniest Home Videos was huge when I was like 7 or 8. And boy, the amount of things that I heard people like talking about Bob Saget at school, it's like, man, someone should punch you in the mouth. An adult. You should eat a Tide Pod.
And somebody else should film it and send it to America's Funniest Home Videos.
Right. And speaking of getting punched in the face, boys, we are talking about Street Fighter, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, Kylie Minogue, and then the great Raul Julia, and the chick from ER. That's
Ming-Na Wen.
Ming-Na Wen?
Isn't she from Mulan?
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Hell yeah.
Melinda May.
So yeah, Street Fighter. I'm gonna pull off a quick recap off the dome here. Street Fighter is the tale of former drug lord turned self-proclaimed general in his own world army, M. Bison. Out to basically Dr. Evil the world and ransom it randomly for a correct amount of money compared to Dr. Evil. He wants $20 billion to release, I think, 47 hostages, which is an arbitrary number I never put together. But of course, the UN stand-in, the Blue Helmet guys, are there to stop him in the name of, you know, saving the world through force and violence. And then a bunch of ragtag misfits are also tagging along. A couple of con man swindlers who are somehow Ryu and Ken. A journalist who's a martial arts master with her former sumo wrestler and somehow also... professional retired boxer cameraman are traveling with her. They all get wrapped up in this big caper and flown off to Thailand, or they're already there, and have to learn to come together to stop the dastardly M. Bison from killing all the innocent hostages and getting away with it again, because that bastard, he always does. And in the midst of that, there's a lot of action, a lot of quips, some other different categories that we will get through in our patented, totally not a ripoff or anything, the kick-ass-ometer.
An homage, if anything.
Sure. created in the image of, like, God and his perfect creation.
Yeah. In homage to man.
So, but yeah, we will have our different categories here. And our first category is the action quality. And for this one, I do want to give it to Phil to kick off our inaugural JCVD topic. Oh, but Ryan has his hand up. No.
It's just out of five. Just putting that up for
reminder. Oh, the score is out of five. Yes. Thank you.
I will need that. Despite how many times I've done this, I still need to be told what the rating scale is on these things.
I made it from scratch without any influence anywhere else, and I still need it. So
I was going to say, I also need to reference it every time.
I don't know how to grade this movie. It's, having watched it recently, I was really
asleep.
I was asleep for significant parts of it, but awake for enough parts to see this under the lens of the campiness that it was trying to go for, almost in like a similar vein to Batman and Robin, where I'm looking at this like 20 years later and going like, oh, I see what they were trying to do. It still sucks, but it's not quite the tone that I thought it was. The action in this movie was notoriously poorly rehearsed and very shoddily put together. It's got some just absolute crazy, silly sequences from Jean-Claude launching like a slingshot out of the pod at the very end with a 20-foot jump kick on Bison to
he goes from hanging underneath to like he's trying to pull and like do a flip up, but it cuts to him basically drop kicking him from above.
It was
the most insane stupid shit.
And I'm not even going to get into the fact that he does two flash kicks without ducking for 2 seconds to charge up, which is bullshit. So it's, I'll take a half point off for that. That is all to say. I'll give it a 2. It's not great. There's fighting. It's Street Fighter and there's fighting. So I'll give it that. And they do a decent job trying to get different characters to fight against each other, despite not like going for an actual tournament style combat, which I think would have made this a lot better. But you know, decisions were made. A lot of decisions were made. So a lot. Yeah, 2 out of 5.
A 2. All right. Well, let's tickle the old fancy and see if we can ding anything on the other end of the spectrum. Brian.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the action?
Well, Phil said that this was famously unrehearsed action scenes, and that's true. The stunt coordinator, Charlie Picerni, I think is his name, who's also the second unit director because of how quickly this whole movie had to be put together. When he was hired, the first thing he said was, I just need all the time that you could possibly give me to rehearse and train these stunts so that they look good on screen. And famously, when director Stephen E. D'Souza, this is his first feature-length film and his only feature-length film, he's better known as a writer for movies like Commando and The Running Man and Die Hard and Die Hard 2 and Hudson Hawk. And Judge Dredd and all these other, the Flintstones. He's done a lot of writing. He's a well-regarded
writer. How do you put out those bangers and then this?
And then there was this. Well, Capcom basically came to him and said, hey, we want to do a Street Fighter movie. And he was like, we can only put 7 characters in it. People don't have a memory for more than 7 characters. Name all 7 dwarves. Go. And they're like, oh, we can't. And they're like, he's like, exactly. 7 characters. And then every 2 weeks, Capcom would call him up. Can we add these two in?
That's awesome.
Can we add these two in? Until eventually all of the characters were in the movie. But every time they put in 2 new characters, he had to rewrite the script. And that cut into time, and he had to hire new actors, and that obviously cut into time that they could be training. And then they all showed up in person, and he saw the condition that Raul Julia was in, who had stomach cancer at the time. This would be his last role. But he had just undergone surgery, showed up, was completely emaciated. And they're like, well, we can't film his dramatic scenes. We need to get him to gain some weight. So they flipped the production schedule entirely and filmed all of the fighting stuff up front. So there was no prep time. So a lot of these were being prepped and learned the choreography right before shooting, which explains why the action is not great. I don't love it. Here, I love some of the big set pieces. You're getting your explosions that I was so sorely missing last week. But the fights are not great. But I have a special place in my heart for this era because film, you had to get it right on the first try or the second try. You didn't have a lot of goes. So you had to get it right, and you didn't have the CGI establishment. You couldn't go and fix it in post. So everything is practical, and it all looks amazing in a way that they would phone it in if this was being made today. And spoiler alert, it's being made today. and I'm nervous about how much of it is going to be relying on CG and having unlimited takes. You don't put as much care, I think, into it. And that's why I love this era of movie, especially action movie, because your set pieces are really well thought out because they have to be. And for that reason, and that reason alone, I'm giving this a 1.5 out of 5 for action quality. And I want to hear.
I'll jump in.
Oh, yeah, for Kyle. That's what I was going to say anyway.
I'm sorry. So, this Kyle, is the rule. You go.
Kyle, go.
You kick it. Oh, it's me. Fuck. Shit. I'm
just being quick. Were you not ready?
I'm with you 100%. No, I am ready. I'm also right there. I just wanted to bring up, like, what really took me out of it and, like, cemented my score for this. There's, like, a quick cut where Cammy and T-Hawk are fighting the final assault. And every time they fight, it's the camera is shooting them from, like, the shoulders up as, like, they do an uppercut. And it's just like a quick cut from two, and it's just so, so shoddy.
I couldn't figure out who was fighting in those scenes. I'm like, who's doing the uppercut
here? It's terrible.
That's a sick uppercut, but I can't tell who the fuck it is.
Right.
And you talk about the rushed fighting scenes, and that's not even mentioning the fact that Jean-Claude Van Damme barely even showed up to rehearse even those because he was railing lines and railing Kylie Minogue all day in his trailer instead.
What a life.
That's why they only got quick uppercuts.
So that's to say I'm also giving this just a 1. Again, for Street Fighter, there is a wild amount of not good fighting. They do try, but again, it's like Jason Bourne style action before that was a thing. And I will kick it to Sean.
Man, I don't know where else to say this because there's no way for me to rate my enjoyment of this movie in this kick-assometer. So I'm just going to say it here. I have never seen this, and I fucking loved the first hour and 10 minutes of this movie. I had so much fun. It was so... I don't know what it was, but something was tickling me. Like, it was tickling me in the right spots, and like the nostalgia and the for the characters, and it was doing things so right.
Goofiness of it was working.
Right. Exactly. It was just so stupid that I couldn't help but love what I was watching until it got too long. But
it really falls apart in the third act. I'm 100% with you. I enjoyed every fucking bit of this movie, and then the third act, I was ready for it to be over.
The assault on the base is so fucking...
That's exactly where it starts. Yeah. When he's sitting there on the arcade machine, cabinet machine, like shooting at a fucking camouflage.
That moment brought me back in, honestly. But
that shit was fucking stupid. But man, right when the action starts is when this movie got bad for me. Like, there's some bits and bobs, like, earlier on in the movie, and there's some good explosions. And I appreciate, like you said, Brian, the practical, you got one shot, and, like, the unpolishedness of it. I appreciate that. But, like, the action's fucking terrible in this movie. And, like, it's only getting points because it fucking has action in the movie. And Raul Julia shot lightning. But then he did some weird Raiden flying thing that looks stupid as hell. And, god damn. One, Ryan.
Wow. So many thoughts have been shared. I kind of agree with everybody. I probably fall closer to Brian out of all so far. I think there's so much action throughout. And it's not necessarily good, but they do sprinkle in quite a few little things throughout. Like, it's fine enough, I guess, but really, like, I'm giving it points for the explosions. As Brian pointed out last week, there were no explosions. And it was nice to see them. And there are some very impressive explosions, which in my book, mm-hmm. if you're talking action quality, explosions are right there. So I agree. A lot of the choreography is forgettable. A lot of the set pieces are forgettable. But I remember those fucking ships exploding. That looked pretty great. So I'm a 1.5 as well.
Actually, I'm gonna bump to a 1.5 as well, because some of my favorite action in this movie was the cage fighting that was like 2 minutes long, and you thought you were gonna get more until Guile showed up. Man, I could have taken an hour of just cage fighting. Mm-hmm. And you don't see a lot, but it's the implication that I think would give that bonus points there. Like, it just, you see it in your head, and you can fill in the blanks. I'll have to go to a 2. I'm going to go straight up to a 2.
Yeah, join me. Join me at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah. I think I'm actually the highest. The 1. That sucks.
God rest his soul, and I'm sure it was the stomach cancer, but that Raul Julia wire work was...
rough, dude. Rough. You see less, like, it's less obvious on stage performances.
I don't think it looks any more goofy than the flying kick from Jean-Claude Van Damme. I think that looks just as goofy. 100%.
I'm not giving it a point for that. But that does bring us to our next category, the antagonist. And I would like to kick this one off myself here. And I will steal again from our good buddies and just say 3 words. Raul fucking Julia.
Amen.
And I give it a 4. And I kick it to Sean.
Well, I mean, if you're given points for the actor, sure. But
I am.
This antagonist does not deserve that at all.
Dude's have one of the best speeches ever.
Moron. Yeah, he's got a good speech, but he's delusional and a fucking moron.
It's not one of the best ever. Like, Aaron Sorkin called.
I don't know. It's used. It's like in the zeitgeist. Sorry,
it's in the zeitgeist.
The day Bison graced your village was the most important day. For me, it was a Tuesday. Yeah, like, I've never seen this movie. And I was like, oh, shit, this is where it comes from?
That's where that comes from?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was a TGI Fridays.
So it's a Friday. Fuck! What's this, out of 4? I don't know. This dude be snapping necks like it's nobody's business.
Cash and checks.
Yeah, but he's got, like...
of his own money?
He's got a suit that just revives him. So, like, how good are you if you needed to build that in? Right?
I mean...
you could argue the fact that he had the foresight to think and make that is, like, pretty incredible. It's like, Tony Stark's a bitch because he's got an iron suit and does nothing because he's just a little man.
Also, no, he has scientists did that.
Okay. When did Dhalsim lose his hair?
That's fair.
Did I miss
When did Dhalsim become Dhalsim, besides 10 minutes before the movie ended?
Yeah, that's also, like, he lost, did his hair just get burned off? And was there an explosion?
I think it just gets burnt off, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just off camera? He's just like...
Like they show him getting the chemicals on his arms, too, right? Mm-hmm. So,
on the arm,
somewhere around then.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he had hairy arms.
He just immediately started.
I got the HD version of this. It was $4. I saw them arm hairs.
His head was shaved, but he still had hairy arms, so it wasn't that.
It was the mutagen, the pathogen, whatever else was on the bag. Shit. Oh, 1. One. Sorry. Ryan.
1.
Again.
Yeah. Oh man, I love the two sides here.
Listen, $20 million for 46 people. I literally sat outside, just let them die. Like, I don't care. Like, most movies I watch, more than 46 people die. I'm not paying $20 billion to save 46 people. Out of your fucking mind, let them die. Bison, you're an idiot. Ryan.
Hear, hear.
I don't know where to begin. I will echo what Kyle said.
Not a hostage negotiator.
Listen, Dr. Evil's trying to blow up the world, all right? Fucking, yeah, this dude, 46 people.
Sean's not wrong, and Kyle's not wrong, and I'm kind of somewhere in the middle because I do think Raul Julia deserves a lot of credit here because this is absolutely nothing without him. He does absolutely elevate what is written on the page. I don't think any other actor does that here. And that said, what's on the page is at least memorable. It's silly. It's stupid. It's almost like cartoon of the week villain. But it's kind of fun. The fact that he has M. Bison Bucks is fucking funny. Like, there's...
I love it.
There's some quirks and charm to it. Like, even as a villain, he is interesting. Like, I will say in the past, and this is speaking for me, I reserve anything like under 2 as negative, and that's because they're usually forgettable. Like, I can't think of who was in Nowhere to Run. Who was in that Jean-Claude Van movie? Like, that, I can't even remember. I will remember M. Bison, for better or for worse. And so for that, I think I'm going to be a positive 3. I can't go above that, but I think that's where I feel on this one. And with that...
Ryan bumped me to a 2. Ryan's convinced me.
Who'd you kick it to?
I didn't kick it yet. So...
Oh.
Phil.
Look, we've had some great performances in our lifetimes. The Jordan flu game. Others that I can't recall.
Yeah.
Putting that amount of energy and effort into a ridiculous part, ridiculous script, and just giving it so much flair and flavor and fun. It's full marks for me. Solid 4. He makes this movie, and the degree of difficulty with coming out of surgery for stomach cancer, he's actively dying while he is making this film, and he outshines every single person in this movie and is the most memorable and fun thing about this. I can't say enough about this performance. Yes, it is ridiculous. Yes, it's dumb. But you see the difference between him and, like, Roshan Seth Dalsim, who looked at this script and is like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm a mad scientist. Why am I mad? What is the point of this? Julia didn't fucking question it. He's just like, I am going to create Bisonopolis. I am going to kidnap the Queen of England and ransom her for money. Just like the Tuesday speech is fun. It is what it is. It's memorable. It's great. His entire monologuing during the fight with Guile throughout that entire final sequence, he is just dialing it up to an 11 the whole time. He is like quoting biblical scriptures. He is like quoting like Shakespeare and shit, and is just like absolutely just such a incredible presence on the screen that I am. He deserves every point in that he can get, because the rest of this movie is going to be utter trash. So,
spoilers.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all the points for him. Brian, I think you're last here. So I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I am. Classically trained actor, Raul fucking Julia.
Woo.
Showed up, understood what the assignment was, and nailed it. Without him, this movie, I don't even think it's talked about anymore. He sets the tone for this so perfectly. And if there is any enjoyment to be had from this movie, it is because of him and his outlandish character and the way he portrays it. And it is, I can't say anything that nobody else has said. So, 4 full marks for this antagonist. I think without him, you don't have a movie. So, that is going to get a perfect score from me.
You compare him to Neil McDonough, who played Bison in the Chun-Li version like a decade later, and I can't remember a goddamn thing about that performance. It's like, it's the difference between doing a memorable, again, like understanding what the assignment is versus showing up for like taking this seriously and trying to like make this into a movie that it's not.
Yep. I'm convinced he's the only one who saw this movie for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what
who's David Dalmastian.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what he brings to it, because I feel like he can bring that fun to it, that flavor to it. So we'll see. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's also worth noting, the post credit scene, he survives at the end. So this is a damn mm-hmm. good antagonist.
Okay.
It's like the super shredder. So the next category is body count. Sean.
Fuck, man. Is there even a body count in this?
Yeah, does somebody like, have a anybody, number?
Like, anybody that
I do have a number.
Dies is fake dead, what? Comes back to life,
yeah,
or just isn't dead to begin with. So yeah, does anyone actually die?
I think there's about 45 to 50 unnamed people who die in this movie.
He snaps.
All just...
Oh, he does snap like two or three soldiers' necks.
Couple necks.
Yep.
Right at the beginning. And again, and who's doing all the fucking work in this movie? It's Raul Julia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the other 40-something? Like,
they're all nameless something? Henchmen yeah. for... Yeah, or soldiers.
Goons.
People that just get... Yeah.
Hired
red man, shirts.
That is so
red shirts.
Unmemorable.
I think yeah, there's like at the end of the movie, we don't really know like the fate of Blanca Vega and Dulcine, but we can assume that because we didn't see bodies or on-screen deaths, that they're fine.
Wow, yeah. 45 though, man.
That's a lot. And I legitimately, at the beginning of this, I could only remember 0. So.
This category is out of 4, by the way.
Those 45.
It's out of 3.
Like those 40 3, something.
By the way.
I don't know. There's you see Bison snap some necks, and those are literally the only deaths that I remember in this movie, even with you guys telling me that there's more. So there's deaths, so 0.5. Like, it is so unmemorable. Like, we have done movies recently where it's, like, less than this. It's, like, 35 or 40. And I'm like, shit, give it 3 points, 2.5 points. But those are memorable. These are bad. A fake death and 2 people come back from the death or aren't dead? Dumb. Phil. Oh, no. Sorry, Phil. You wait. Brian.
That's fine.
Brian's been going late a lot.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I'll sit in the cop chair over here. It's fine.
I'm with you.
You watch him tell you his number.
I agree. I saw that body count number and I was like, that seems high. I don't remember that. And there's like a website that actually lists out like a bunch of them. And there's like, yeah, these 2 die here. This one. And I'm like, yeah, none of it memorable. Don't care. You give me a number like 50 and I'm inclined to say, okay, you get a point. But I can't remember any of them, so it's going to stay at 1. And now we can go to Phil.
So, this movie was a vehicle for toys. It was released at Christmas. It was the product of a Capcom-Hasbro partnership where they were trying to sell G.I. Joe toys that were reskinned for Street Fighter. So, it really makes a lot of sense that they did not want a high body count. They were looking for a kid-friendly film, and it's going to affect the body count when you got shit like that. You get 2 snap necks at the beginning of a nameless AN goons. That's the Allied Nation, not to be confused with the United Nations. And then all the red shirts that get killed, supposedly, in various undramatic fashion. So I'll give it a point because we actually had two on-screen deaths. And again, Raul Julie doing all the work. He made this point. So really it's 5 points for villain because he gets four for the actual villain and then he gets one for bodies. So that's what I'll give him one.
Who do you want to hear from, Phil? Yeah.
Who's left? Are we got Kyle? Have you gone yet? Kyle. Give me some Kyle. Mm-mm.
I tell you what, boys, until you started talking, I had a big fat goose egg in this category because I didn't remember a single death. And I'm with you, though, Brian. Like, hearing that number, I feel like I have to give it something. Like, 46, 47. That's work. It's wild that I don't remember any of them, though. So, like, I have to take some away for that. Mm-hmm. And that said, I think I'm going to 0.5.
Let's go.
Giving it a half a point.
Join me, dog.
So, and Rye Guy, take her home.
I'll be right there with you two. I think this is a 0.5 as well. Brian made a good point about the number kind of deserving a one. But like Kyle said, I can't remember a lot of it. I even forgot the neck snapping until it was brought up. Mm-hmm. 0.5 feels right. More people got injured making that Jackie Chan movie last week that got a 0.5 than what I saw in Street Fighter when I watched it.
The MPAA ended up giving this movie a G and they added a swear in post just so they get up to PG-13. So that tracks. That is after they cut it to shit because it got an R the first time they submitted it.
That's wild too.
Wait, so it was legitimately a G?
Yeah, it was a G film. And then they put a, I think Van Damme says shit in one scene. They added that in so they get
He says three swear words really close together, and that shocked me. I was like, wow, he's cursing a lot in this kids movie, and that explains why they really wanted to bump that up. So, speaking of hitting or missing, the next category is setting / theme. And for this one, I also want Phil to kick it off.
How many points
out of two?
Two?
Is that a 3?
I'll give it a
2.
I'll give it a 1. Like,
oh,
they,
it's out of 3.
I'll give it a 1. Oh. It's it's so they shot it on location in Thailand for a bit, but the combination of the heat and Thailand massage parlors this ended up pushing the whole production over to Australia for the rest of it, and I appreciate what they did and like the attempts to incorporate the setting, the Southeast Asia setting, for into the script and not trying to completely, you know, find a sound studio in Atlanta to shoot this in. But it's again, it's like it's just not super memorable and super great. You know, they did a lot of work, I'm sure, to try as hard as they could, but it just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't appear on the film for me. So, yeah, I'm not going to give them a whole lot of points for this. It's a 1. Ryan, what are your thoughts on this?
Surprisingly, a little higher than you.
Okay.
I think this movie is a mess and a glorified disaster in many ways. I kind of really like the setting. I think Thailand adds a nice little... There are some beautiful locations. They should be mentioned. You did that. I think I'm more into the costume and the production design. I think the costuming is really nice and interesting here. I really like some of the details they pay attention to that they don't have to. Maybe somebody will think this is stupid as fuck, but I kind of enjoyed that Blanca's chemicals were green and orange, and just like these little things.
I love that they were just hanging in plastic bags.
I mean, it is what it is. It's not a high budget, but I think honestly they do a lot with what they can, and if you guys are talking about the first two acts moving so quick, it's because they're doing a lot and they're throwing a lot of different scenes and locations and like ideas at you. And I think that's pretty fucking good. Like, all right. So like if there's a lot of, you know, like action scenes that aren't great, maybe it's not like that good, but they're doing a lot. And I think that should be at the very least kind of in the middle on the average side. So I'm kind of in the 1.5. I think there's a lot they can improve on, but I do think I'm not negative on this. I think there's stuff that works as much as what doesn't work. And I do think, I don't know. I think there's some special things here. They're just buried in, you know, rubbish. And a lot of that's, you know, around Jean-Claude Van Damme and his story and that. But with that, I don't know. Who's going to be positive? Who's going to be positive on this? I'm feeling maybe Kyle. I feel like Brian and Sean said they had some negativity up.
What'd you give this?
A 1.5. I'm right down the middle.
1.5. So on setting and theme, at a score out of 3, it's weird. They try. They really try. And for the most part, they succeed. I think Blanca looks ridiculous. But I also don't know how he couldn't look anything other than that in the low-budget 90s movie.
They could have slapped green paint on Lou Ferrigno.
They almost did. They basically just used the prosthetic from Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer and painted it green.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. but
how do you have your muscle mass increased by 100% and you still are a scrawny bitch?
I also don't why when they're fighting do they put on more gear to protect? Why does Imbice or Balrog put on boxing gloves? Where do they come from?
And he changes to boxing shorts.
So where did you get those gloves?
He goes on the full gear. But he goes into the full gear. It's they fully commit. Who else? Somebody else puts on fucking gloves. I think Sagat puts on fucking like Muay Thai gloves. And I'm like, Why?
They wanted to make sure
you're fighting them.
The end of this movie, everyone was in their character appropriate clothing.
Yeah, they absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm sure that was a big push from Capcom. Who, by the way, I think did they financed like 80% of this movie. Mm-hmm. So that also, yeah, of course, Capcom says, hey, at the end of the movie, they all have to be in their gear. They're like, okay. So Zangief gets his shirt ripped off, so we see his chest hair. E-Honda's gets his like shirt sort of ripped, so it's like his sash thing. I love that they're just pushing each other around, and then at the end, they're like, all right, I got to stop playing now.
It's so good.
That guy.
Zangief is like, wait, Bison's the bad guy?
Oh, yeah, man. Right. I like how... E-Honda also got like some blood on his face and it kind of looked
They did it. So all that to say, I'm at a 2 and I feel pretty good about that. And I want to kick it to Brian.
I agree with you. I agree with both of you. I agree with Ryan and Kyle on this one. I think the sets here are again, it's going back to that practical thing, and they're in Thailand for the Shadaloo setting, and there's just something you can't get from a soundstage or yeah. So it looks good. I like the commitment to getting those characters into their uniforms, I don't know. It's the embracing the absurdity of the getting to the point where it is, this is the video game. This is where we are going to do what we can to make this feel like the video game. To the level, I mean, we got the joystick and buttons from the arcade cabinet on M. Bison's flying desk thing. It's just, oh man, there's so many touches here that I really liked.
It did.
The light ball?
Yeah, the light ball.
Like Robotnik's.
It did look like Robotnik.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Bowser's little that chariot too, that he rides. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Obviously, there were some issues. I mean, there was a scene they wanted to film in Thailand. And when they shut off all the lights, there was light pouring in from like holes in the walls of this building they wanted to film in. So they had to be like, okay, well, we can't use this. I guess we'll shoot this in Australia too. And they ended up leaving the Thailand set a week early. They had to shoot more in Thailand, but they're like, our actors are getting skinnier. Our sets are falling apart. The infrastructure of this town cannot support a full Hollywood feature. They were losing power regularly. So they're like, let's add a week in the front to Australia and get out of here quicker. And then they ended up doing, I think, like 3 days of shooting in Edmonton, like 3 months after they wrapped in Australia. So, and that Edmonton, was the underground Thailand. Fighting, the when you have the showdown between Vega and Ryu. He's Ryu in this movie.
I love that Damien Chapa could not say Ryu, so they he just like it. They tried it multiple times and he could not pronounce Ri and Yu for the life of him, so they had to go with the American pronunciation.
So good. I like Wild. That half the people on set were like, I don't even know how it's supposed to be pronounced, to be honest.
And it's crazy that it's pronounced differently throughout the movie, because when it's first introduced, you know, I think they're Ken and Ryu are together, and so Damien Chapa is the first one to say the name, and I'm like, oh, okay, they're just going to call him Ryu throughout. And then it changes, and then different characters will call him different pronunciations based on whoever is talking, and it's just, it's wild.
Yeah. Good stuff. Where was I? Two. I'm giving it the two. And I think who's left? Sean?
Honestly, people jumping between calling him Ryu and Ryu is just the most actually realistic thing. Super accurate, thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the most realistic way of doing this movie, right? Man, I think setting and theme was my favorite part of this movie. I said I loved the first hour and 10 minutes of this just because I loved the theme. I loved everything that was happening. I was having fun with how stupid everything was. Like, by the end, I didn't know how half of the characters were in their costumes, and I didn't fucking care at all. And I think the reason why I couldn't figure out who was doing those uppercuts was I couldn't fucking recognize some of the people, because I was like,
who?
You were wearing different clothes 2 seconds ago. Like, what just happened? But yeah, I echo everything everybody already said. But I'm even higher at a 2.5.
Fair enough. I like it.
I'm bumping mine to a 1.5. I was unnecessarily harsh now that I'm hearing everybody. I said at the outset that I appreciate the campiness of it, and so I should embrace the campiness of the ending and everything that went into it. I was a little shocked when I had fallen asleep during the middle of it, and then I hadn't seen Balrog in a while, and then he's in full, like, glossy purple shorts, and I'm just like, where did this come from?
Where?
I it's laughed.
I was awake the whole time, and I also asked the same question.
Same. One second he's in his purple shirt, and then he's in his purple shorts, and then he's got gloves, and I was like, what is happening? But this is such a weird case of this movie being like a good bad somehow becoming a bad bad.
The sound effects, the goofy sound, cartoon sound effects annoyed me at certain parts, but I got a kick out of the Godzilla sound effects when they're watching Zangief and Honda on the screen.
That was so
good. And they're destroying the set for Bisonopolis while they're wrestling against each other. That was great.
That was one of my favorite bits of the whole movie. Crank too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, yeah. Wild that that's happened twice this month.
Two unintentional homages to, yeah.
Classic Godzilla kaiju flicks.
Kaiju movies, yeah.
So the next categories, I think, are where points probably maybe going to start falling off a bit, gentlemen. First one up here is muscles, and I want to have Ryan set the tone on this.
0.5 only for Zangief at the end, otherwise there's no muscles. Done. Easy. Ryan.
I disagree. Please. I think you've got a lot of jacked actors, and a lot of them lose their shirts throughout this movie. And then there's Damian Chapa, who is also in this movie. Yes. And he's not one of the ones who loses his shirt, but I mean, you see Vega without the shirt, you see Ryu without the shirt, you see Guile briefly without a shirt, which is weird because Van Damme
in the close up
JCVD, man.
In the close up of that American
this
flag.
This is the bicep. Most clothed of JCVD we like ever get.
For
in
real.
Any movie.
I've seen so far.
Uh-huh. But I think what I want to do here in this muscles category, even though I said what I just said, everybody's getting beefy, showing off their beef. Raul Julia was literally dying. And then showed up and kicked ass. So I'm going two. Two out of two on the muscles for me. And I'm sending it to
Sean.
The heart
is a muscle.
Okay.
The man had heart.
Okay, so my baseline start for this one, because I agree, like, there was, while I was watching that, I'm like, okay, here's muscles, okay. And maybe I'm tainted by the last couple, where it has been so fucking non-existent, it's not even funny.
It's been
funny.
A desert.
It's been a desert. I haven't seen a peck in a year. But... But there is so many times that I'm like, oh muscles. So like my starting baseline here was like a two, and it's not like gigantic ripping, but it's like some big jacked up juicy beefy guys. But then you also have
I love action movie
but then
December.
You also have Raul Julia, who was kind of the reverse
action
of
movie
that
December kicks ass.
And also just harping back, okay, they put Carlos into that fucking thing and are increasing his muscle mass.
Yeah.
His muscle mass at one point it says muscle mass increased by 80%. Where, motherfuckers? In his eyebrows? Like, fuck, man, that dude came out less muscular than when
he went in. He was skinnier than when he went in.
Yeah. And so for that, I'm taking away half a point, 1.5.
Oh, man, you convinced me. I'm also dropping down to 1.5.
I'm going to give it a 50%, 1 out of 2. We have Van Damme. He is ripped as usual. May not be showing a lot of it, but, you know, he's revealing enough. Byron Man, Ryu, you know, Andrew Berniarski. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. Zangief. We've got, you know, huge. Grand Bush. Is that really Balrog's character's name? Grand Bush was appropriately ripped, but DJ is a massive character in the game, and he's played by Miguel Nunez Jr., who is a nothing of a man.
Yeah.
T-Hawk.
Some would say a Juana man.
Ooh, T-Hawk is so tiny, and he is
huge. He's one of the biggest sprites in the game. He's a massive dude. Wes Studi, who can play apparently any race on this planet why am I blanking on his name is in front of me, Sagat, who is a huge massive character. Again, Blanca, you've got a dude who is getting pumped full of muscle enhancing chemicals, and he comes out looking just sad.
Cross between Ferrigno Hulk and Pennywise.
Yeah. So yeah, like they did great for half the characters. They did it very poorly for half the characters. So I'm giving it a 1 out of 2.
Maybe.
Who's left?
I think that leaves me.
Kyle.
But for everything that you guys said, I'm with you. I'm also at a 1 here. Which brings us to the next category, the butts category, which I, as tradition, we'll kick off and say, for this one, I'm at a zero, boys. I don't remember a single butt. Be it a butt shot, there's definitely no nudity.
Zangief's close.
So, yeah. Close.
He's in a Speedo.
No but butt, no cigar.
Though. So, I myself am at a zero.
I'm pretty sure you can see like a little bit of a cigar.
You can see a little bit of a cigar.
What Sean says.
Zero. Nada. None. No tush. No bush. Except for Grand Bush. He's
Balrog. No tush, no bush is a great gloves. Way to put it.
Kyle. Oh, no, you already started. Phil.
Zero butts, 0 points. This is a rare, rare Van Damme movie where he does not get nude in some
most
capacity.
Most clothed Van Damme.
It is.
This is his category.
This is his category. This is always this a was guarantee. Mm-hmm. I'm almost wanting to give it negative points because Cammy, traditionally in a thong, not no butts,
show off the butt,
doesn't
butt.
Happen in this movie. So,
can we go negative? Is that allowed?
That negative butts. The more clothing.
Negative butts.
Brian, what are your thoughts?
I mean, zero. Come on.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Zero.
Easiest.
This is the first next up, full I think another zero quick... sweep, I think, for butts.
I'm curious if there will be more. With that, I bring us to the next category, music. Phil.
There,
do the honors, please.
There is so many memorable tracks.
Also out of two.
To the Street Fighter 2 soundtrack. and they did such a good job. At least they did such a good attempt at trying to incorporate the look, the special moves. D'Souza went against what was being told to actually try to incorporate the special moves, and in retrospect, didn't look good on film. Trying to do flash kicks and Hadoukens and everything else. The 100 hand slap. I was fine with that. But that is all to say, like, there is a wealth of good music that they could have drawn from the game in some capacity, and they didn't, and I don't remember a single thing. It's very generic, just like, actually, let's just move us from one scene to the next. So, I'm giving it a zero. Kyle, why don't you take it?
You know, I'm... It's weird, like, I try to be generous, but like nothing stuck out, which could be okay and maybe go for the but like I don't know, man, they're just it wasn't jarring, but I don't feel like it. I'm giving it a 0.5. I don't think, maybe I'll be convinced, but yeah, for now I'm going 0.5, but it was not great, I'll say. Sean,
I can't remember a single goddamn thing. And I have been trying to do better about listening to music and movies. And I've made a point to talk about it the last couple of times. I can't remember a single goddamn lick of anything from this movie. Zero. Zero, zero, zero.
Fair enough.
Ryan.
100%. I agree. I usually try to listen out for music and nothing stood out. Nothing was memorable. I don't think there was any kind of like theme that I remember. And I think Phil is right. This is equally or even more upsetting because they had so much material to take from. It would be like taking like a Mario property and then not using any of that. And even then, like, I don't know. Some of these movies sometimes like have those like regrettable like 90s tracks, like, wow, that's a weird needle drop, that's like whatever, but like even then it's memorable. There's nothing here. They didn't even use one of those or like have Jean-Claude Van Damme come on and rap about Street Fighter at the end. Like,
oh man, that would have been an instant two for me.
This is a zero. This is nothing. They didn't try. They did nothing here.
There's a whole meme about everything goes better with Guile's theme out there, and they didn't even give us that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian.
Yeah.
If only that meme existed when this movie was being made.
Yeah, They had a wealth to pull from, allegedly. I don't know. I famously said at the beginning of this episode that I've never played a Street Fighter game. So,
I love Scorpion's theme.
Graham Revell is like a name, though, when it comes to composers. So it's surprising that, like, and he has a style that would lend itself well to a video game soundtrack. And he decided, straight symphony. Why not? Stupid. Mm-hmm. Zero. Absolutely zero.
There is one track that I remember that like really stood out when Van Damme is driving the boat up the canal and they have that kind of weird out of place like musical interlude while he's doing that. And it felt very jarring and did not seem to match the rest of the theme. It was like, we're going to do like kind of a mini music video here, montage. That's the only thing I can recall.
Yeah. And that's not a good sign when the thing you recall is something that didn't work.
Right.
Put me at, I'm changing to zero.
I mean, it's
crazy because like,
and browbeaten down.
I remember people saying the soundtrack was good. And like none of those tracks were in the movie.
What people? Many people are saying it.
There was an ad that was actually run that was like Street Fighter the video the movie, that shit was trash. Street Fighter the soundtrack, that's good shit.
There are maybe tens talking of about us. The
game. I think they use different tens language.
Tens of us. Tens of us. There are dozens. I do remember of us. When Blanca's dozens. Music got turned, or when the feed to his eyeballs got turned to Martin Luther King and Good Stuff. It had music there. I can't tell you what it was, but I remember that there was music there.
Straight to My Feet,
Ode to Joy or something.
By MC Hammer and Deion Sanders was only available on the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, we can't judge music that wasn't in the movie, so.
Only true. Why do you do that? Why do you put this in the soundtrack and not in the fucking movie? How is that part of your soundtrack?
That's such a weird era for that.
Oh.
It doesn't make any sense.
Soundtrack to Titan AE, dog.
Be like Forrest Gump and just shovel in 40 songs.
Shove as many movies songs as you can into your movie.
Oh, shit.
Full on banger of an album.
Talk about... He did the soundtrack for Spawn. And you talk about a shit movie with a gnarly soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway.
What's the theme for Spawn right now?
We got two categories left, fellas.
Hum me the theme for Spawn that? Right now.
The theme for Spawn, I don't remember, but he did the soundtrack. It was a music by. It was a lot of.
Oh, it's one of those. Like
Marilyn
the Matrix.
Manson and the Sneaker Pimps did Long Hard Road Out of Hell. Mm-hmm. It was a big crossover.
Not the
album.
Actual.
That's why
like,
I liked it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I see.
Yeah. Anyways, next category is quips. Brian, kick us off.
Yo. But for me, it was Tuesday, is like one of the most important lines in cinema action history, I think.
Ever.
I'm with you.
I've never seen this movie, but I knew that line. And it's been repeated forever. And like then We Are the Millers gets all this credit for, wait, you guys are getting paid? And that came from this movie, too. I'm giving it a full one for quips. I thought this movie was quippy as hell. I think a lot of that is on the shoulders of... Zangief. He's a hilarious character. So much fun. Quick, change the channel. Get out of here. So good. One for me for quips. And I would like to hear from Kyle.
For both those reasons, and for one more that I personally love because I was a Street Fighter kid. I played the absolute shit out of Street Fighter. During the final fight with Guile and M. Bison, they both say their victory lines to each other. Guile says, "Are you man enough to fight me?" And M. Bison responds with, "Anyone who poses me will be destroyed." So for those two quips, and also the ones you said, I'm also at a full one. I really, really, really dug it. It understood the assignment
you
in that regard.
Came here everybody to fight a madman and found a god.
Yeah.
You'll be a dead one soon. I'm kicking it to Ryan.
Fully agree. Well, one. I think not only are there quips, I think they're really good. I legit laughed out loud at the quick change of the channel, and I think it might be the funniest thing in action movie December yet. This one or the other one in July.
But we can go home.
Zangief, I want to echo that one more time, what Brian said. Zangief is the clear MVP here when it comes to quips and puns and jokes. With that, Phil, what are you thinking?
Echoing this, Andrew Bernarski's quips per spoken line is like near 100%. He is there for the comic relief and he nails it. And if you want more of that, check out his role as Butterfinger in Hudson Hawk, because he does the same thing. Full points, full one.
Bison's the bad guy?
Yeah. Zangief, absolutely. Phil, what you just said was his hit rate on his quips is near 100%. You've got Van Damme also putting out so fucking many that are just coked out. Like, goddamn, I'm the repo man and you're out of business. Like, he's saying shit that doesn't make any sense to anything. Like, I'm your landlord and you're past due on rent on your ass. Like, so, like,
I'm going like, to get in my boat.
It was so dumb. But for every fucking
son
miss
of a bitch Bison's ass so hard.
Yes.
That the next Bison wannabe is going to feel hit.
For every one miss that he has, you got Zangief knocking like two or three out of the park. Mm-hmm. And that's a straight up one for me.
Captain Sawada, I will, since I'm not sure where to put this, but the one Street Fighter character who is not in Street Fighter, where they had to, like, Capcom was really pushing for this Japanese actor to play Ryu, but he couldn't speak a lick of English, and that was a bit of a problem, so he was dubbed throughout. But it's the reason I bring him up is because I recall his very stilted lines of something along the lines of an aerial assault or a water assault, you would have to be out of your mind. And Van Damme responds, well, good thing that Bison is driving me crazy. And it's just like, it just made me roll my eyes so hard. But, you know, even the quips that didn't land, they were still just like,
they get a reaction.
They got a reaction. So,
yep.
Gentlemen, our final Corey category, our final Corey, is it Haim or Feldman? Tune in
That's
next
another
time
month.
To find out the answer to that one. But our final category is the only binary category. It can only be 1-0. It can't be a half. Can't be anything like that. It is the story
caller
category.
From Texas here.
Yep.
And I...
Yep. You triggered caller from Texas with binary. Why are you saying things like that, Kyle?
Because it's either ones or zeros, man.
Dog. Which one's
you gotta
which?
Pick. You're assigned a one or a zero at birth, and you can't Listen. Change it. Yeah.
Caller from Texas agrees.
All right.
Is that what you're saying? Texas. I don't know that I agree.
It's one and zero.
I'm more like
not
a,
one.
I'm a
what he's saying is story. Situation. Story ain't a spectrum. All right.
Dude, a three is a butt. Dude, all the numbers are weirdly sexual. Continue.
Yeah, of course. Two is a butt. One is a wiener. Three is a pair of boobos. Four is, depending on the way you draw the four, I'm going to stop.
Yeah, look at that zero, though.
Story, yeah, that's speaking of, I'm giving it a big Zippo. I don't think there is a story here. And I think we've given one other zero. But that's what I'm sticking on. And I want to kick it to Phil.
They had a task to try to create a 100-minute narrative out of a fighting tournament. A
character select screen.
With zero story other than, I think, Ryu is trying to, like, find the ultimate challenge. And they did it, kind of. They created a something. They created a megalomaniacal Donald Trumpian, I want to put my name on and likeness on everything and create a Pax Bisonica that will incorporate the world. And it's not a great story, but it has I can follow it, and that's all I can ask for in a binary system as this. So I will give it a 1.
Okay.
Ryan, what are your thoughts?
I completely agree. In a binary system like this, I think it very clearly sets up kind of the structure of the story at the very beginning, that Guile is hunting down Bison, who is this megalomaniacal person who is like trying to just take over things with his, money and armies and shit, whatever. It's all silly. It's all very happenstantial. Things just meet up, but yet it kind of all still works enough. It's, again, not high art. It's not like really clever, the story beats. It's a lot of coincidences, but it's very clear what the mission is, what the goal is, and then the movie resolves when they do that goal. It's by the numbers, very straightforward, but it's there. 1. Shawnee boy.
Everybody's got a story in here, and everybody's got a reason for what they're doing, and I don't know the reason behind Guile not having his hair, but I do know the reason why
they did do a shitty bleach job, at least.
Why half commit? They literally, at the freeze frame at the end of the movie, he's doing the combing his hair pose.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have any fucking hair to comb. It was insane. Anyways,
with you.
But I do know why Chun-Li was after M. Bison. And that tells me there's a story. 1. And very happy 1 at that. I don't think it's great, but I'm happy to say a 1. Brian.
Yeah. It all comes down to what a lot of these villains want. M. Bison wants some real estate. And damn it, he's going to get it one way or another. And the AN is going to stop him. That's enough of a story for me. That's a 1.
Bison clearly states his goals. He is a simple man. He just wants to create a race of superhuman monsters, not for evil, but to cleanse the world of all bad things and incorporate it under his iron grip. And if he can have some honorable combat on the side while it happens, then that's just like the cherry on top.
Is that why all of his soldiers were Sig Heiling him at the beginning of the movie? Legit. Yes. I'm not the only one that caught that, right? That was their constant thing. It was. I was like,
what rating is this? He states his motivation.
Oh, they're just waving to him.
I appreciate that he states his motivations just from the outset, and that he's so fervent in how, like, this is not a bad thing. I'm just creating superhuman monsters that are going to bring peace to the world. I don't get why everyone's so against this, but I'll make them find out once I kidnap the Queen of England. Just like a cartoon fucking villain, and I love it.
All right, so we actually do have our secret extra category. There can be a bonus point if there's a consensus on a cool, unique bonus weapon category point. I guess, first of all, does anybody have any nominations? I have 1.
There's really only 1.
Okay.
Oh.
I feel.
Well, we'll see. Phil, I'll have you kick it off with what you think.
I commend Vega's commitment to getting his hands on a claw-like weapon wherever he's at, whether he is in a cage fight or a prison and he's making it out of bamboo and whatever. Like, that man has a preference for hand-to-hand combat, and he finds a way to get it done. So, bonus point for Vega Claws.
But does he do anything?
Brian, what about you? What do you got?
Arcade cabinet floating desk.
Also good. Neither of those are the one that I thought of. Mine is, as I'm getting ready to think about remodeling my house, I want to maybe put in a gym. And I think that the one thing every gym needs right in the middle of it is an incinerator.
Yes.
I thought, that was a pretty great, unique bonus weapon He just fucking turns it on in the middle of this locker room. Fuck it.
I would bring Guile's dope speedboat that cloaks, but unfortunately they cloak and then immediately start shooting and blowing stuff up that draws attention.
All right, now that we're cloaked, let's blow some stuff up and give away our location immediately.
Now that we're cloaked, let's blow up the radar towers that you don't need to blow up. Good move.
Because you're cloaked.
Because you're cloaked. Exactly. Like, fuck, man.
That was a cool belt.
Ryan, do you have any?
No, I couldn't even think of the ones you brought up beforehand, so no. No.
I think we could all agree.
For my dope weapons.
I say we give it the bonus point. I think it deserves it. There's enough. I'm cool.
Ken uses some gym equipment to mess with Sagat from the punching ball to the pull down bar. So yeah, there's improvised weaponry.
I'm willing to give this movie the pity point because it fucking needs it.
I think it hit it with the cool, unique bonus weapons. Yeah, I definitely do.
Because Brian, with that bonus point, what does that bring us to and how does that compare?
That gives this movie an 11.5 on the kickassometer, which is a straight 50%.
That feels high.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right down the middle. It does feel high. And that's right along the thinking of people who reviewed this movie. Rotten Tomatoes, this has an 11% critical score.
That feels
and
low.
And a 20% audience. And both of those numbers are low. Because if you look at IMDb, it's got a 4.1. Metacritic, it has a 34. And on Letterboxd, it has a 2.2, which is actually the highest out of all of these. So if we're taking the recency bias into account, people like this movie a lot more now than they did when it was first released.
Yeah.
And with that pity point, it was a 44, which is about right in line with everything else. And just a tad smutch below the last JCVD movie that we watched.
Out of 23, so that's 50.
No, without the pity point.
Oh, without the
the weapon point.
Yeah, so yeah, perfect. Nailed it.
Damn.
I did enjoy the absolute shit out of this movie. I hadn't seen it since I was a kid and it came out. I watched it last year. I really had a good time this time. Did you?
I think we streamed it in the channel.
Why?
It was a Mortal Kombat Street Fighter double feature. Tested my patience.
Oh,
yeah.
Which Mortal Kombat did you watch? Wow.
The old one from the 90s. First one. Obviously.
Oh. Which one was better?
That one's good. The second one is fun to watch to like, hey, it is so bad.
My opinion was Mortal Kombat was better than Street Fighter.
Oh, Mortal Kombat. The first one is actually a solid movie. It's enjoyable as fuck. It's pretty well done.
They sucked the tournament format. You got a fighting game, fighting tournament. Mm-hmm. Don't fucking second guess it. Just make it a tournament movie.
Don't fuck it up.
Give me a dirty cage.
Keep it simple, stupid.
That's it.
Yep.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Just give me Monkey Man. A whole tournament of Monkey Man.
Ooh.
Phil, as always, it is a goddamn pleasure talking Jean-Claude Van Damme with you. It's so much fun. We had to add a whole second month to do it more. Van Damme it, I do love it. The only thing I worry about now is eventually we will tap this well, and we'll come to that when we come to it.
We watched the best. Now we can watch the rest.
Yeah. He's still alive. There's still a chance.
Yeah, there's still a chance that there will be more.
Yeah.
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 That is true. That is true. So, but always, you know, thank you, buddy. It's always a pleasure hanging out with you.
Same.
And you guys should stick around for the Patreon where you can hear Phil's Jackie Chan impression.
It's tasteful. Okay.
That's a good callback.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. But seriously.
But until then, Phil, as tradition, would you like to tell the listeners what they can do?
Oh, yeah.
Phil,
oh, wait,
Ken,
I'm sorry.
In a hot
Sean's
second.
Sean's got to do his plugs.
Yep,
in a hot second. Mm-hmm. Slow your fucking roll. But on a serious note, if you want to hear what we thought was our favorite games and movies of the year, if you want to hear Ryan talk about his penis a little bit more and give away his full dad's information, go to patreon.com.
Name, social security number, list of allergies.
/ experience grind. Kyle, too, I think. Yeah, we're for as little as $9,000, you can sign up and get...
It's the dad cast. You can ruin our dad's lives.
Oh. Great. You can also find those links on our Linktree. Linktree.com/experiencegrind. You can find the Discord there where Ryan just started a Christmas movie bracketology thing. Which Ryan's probably will be over by the time you join.
Right, so after Ruffles you fucking took the championship it. Of the championship.
Championship.
A Ray's original.
You got to go back and retroactively give it that.
It's a respectable crazy. Choice.
Here's a yeah, secret.
It's fine. I'm not Take mad at credit. It. It would have been my pick, but I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, it wasn't Pringles, so that's cool. Anyways, Phil, you can take us out.
There's
hey, what are we talking about next week?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
John Wick. John Wick 2.
John Wick 2.
Our good friend Michael will be joining us for John Wick 2.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Phil, now you can go
ahead. With that, there's really only one thing that the audience can do, and they can go home and be a family.